You're listening to the Berkman Audio Fishbowl from the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University. Each week, we feature conversations with leading cyber scholars, entrepreneurs, activists, and policymakers as they explore the bleeding edge of the internet and technology, democracy, law, and society. For more information on the Berkman Center and for more programs like this, visit cyber.law.harvard.edu.
Donnie is a Berkman Center Fellow this year, and he's also a Fulbright Scholar, and he's on the Faculty of Law at UNM University, and I'll keep that brief. He's here to talk about, can we get along with each other as splitting internet? We'll leave it to Donnie.
Thank you, Arma. Thank you, all of you, coming to this talk at the spring break, and thank you very much, because this is a holiday. So at the very beginning, I'd like to play a game, invite you to play a game with me. The game's name is Spot the Difference. I believe most of you are very familiar with this kind of a game, which is just compare two pictures, the two pictures, and circle out the differences between them. And these two are very distinctive, obviously, you can figure out them. But in the digital world, sometimes the thing may be more complicated, and the factors may be mixed up. So that would be a little bit challenging than that one. So this is
the
just the beginning.
Of those two.
yeah. But they are handsome, yeah, right. And now our own game. This is also a picture. The picture of the Google's homepage on March 14th. 14 is 3.14, which is close to the circular constant ratio. So Google changed its logo to celebrate the Pi Day. And this is google.cn on the same day. Comparing to the previous one, the differences are very distinctive. It's in Chinese. It's interesting, in other Google's local homepage, Google provides multiple language choices of interfaces. But unfortunately, in Chinese Google.cn, Google does not provide this function. So I have to use Google.com's translation tool to translate Google.cn. So we can compare them and play the game. Can you? It's not so clear because the screen is relatively small. But can you find the differences between these two pictures or two home pages?
One of them is celebrating Pi Day and the other is not.
Yeah, definitely Pi Day is a big difference. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, because perhaps...
I'm not sure what are all the colored dots at the bottom of the one on the right before.
Yeah, this is cannot be translated because it is embodied with Flash. And they are actually mostly the same to the top line of those items. The same thing, almost the same thing. So,
what are the two green items that are underlined?
Which one?
In the menu bar between news and shopping.
Yeah, great. This is one of the very distinctive things. Yeah.
Top right, there's something different in the functional links there.
Yes. The second important thing, top right.
So Gmail is missing.
Yeah, Gmail, the second, also the second, because as like the top one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I assume ad marketing plan is the same as advertising programs, mm-hmm. even though it says something different.
Mm-hmm.
It says ad marketing plan. Is that the same as advertising programs on the one on the left?
Mm-hmm. Well?
Is there no...
Oh, you don't know?
No. So, these are... Can we find others?
Is there no sign-in on the Google page?
Sorry, I didn't...
Is there no sign-in link on the Google page? Excuse me,
on the right.
On the right, on the Chinese page?
No. No sign-in. So the second one.
That's odd.
Yep.
The Chinese version is a copyright notice.
Mm-hmm.
So does the English one.
Privacy.
Where is it?
Privacy.
Right. Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, they're privacy.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
privacy have Chinese one, because this is translated one, so right. actually, so, yep. But besides privacy, there is one thing which is does not exist in English version, which is the, this is the answer. You have mentioned all of them.
Yeah.
Yep. First one is pi. Pi is not very specific, because other than google.com, all of the local websites I checked does not include this pi, because perhaps pi is, belongs to the American, perhaps. So the difference is, firstly, we have these three very distinctive things. One is Gmail and sign in. And the second one is Q&A and com. These are actually two featured functions that does not provided in google.com, but in Google Chinese, it has two new services, and I will mention it later. And then the last one is the bottom, the ICP number, which is a licensed number of providing internet services in China. So this is our game. And what I want to say today is all about these three distinctions. And I believe when we are talking about google.cn and google.com, you are thinking about this thing. In January this year, Google announced that, you may be very familiar with this matter, announced that because it detected a highly sophisticated and targeted attack on Google and other American corporations, so Google decided to no longer censor the results of Google on google.cn, and the considering the Chinese situation and environment, Google believe it might lead its shutting down its offices in China. And in these 2 or 3 months, this issue was discussed, quarreled, either in China, American, around the world, and a lot of things, emotional things, political discussions, economical, commercial things, and technological discussions. And even this is actually the paradigms of the Google. This kind of, all of these kind of things in these 2 months. And I'm lucky during these 2 months, I'm in Berkman Center, and I can read a lot of the discussions on this. But from my understanding as a lawyer and an academic observer, I don't have the insights at either the political or the technological perspectives. What I can provide hereby is the analysis to what we have circled out in the game just now. Firstly, I will introduce you the operator of these two services, which is Q&A. This is provided by a Chinese internet company, which is Tianya.cn in English. Tianya means skyline, which is a very famous website in China. I'm not advertising it, but using it as a case and an example of Chinese internet sphere, and just want to introduce you some kind of the culture in China, internet.
Is this, are they white labeling it? Is that what we would call it here? In other words, does Google represent that as theirs? Is Skyline transparent here? Or?
Yep. Actually, Google has invested some investments into Tianya. And Tianya, these two services need to log on as a user of Tianya, but Google does not provide any service that's involving the accounts, user accounts in google.cn. So in these two services, you have to have to this.
Yep. I Google personalized home page. Doesn't that require a login?
No.
No.
No. This is very interesting thing. So the second thing I am talking about very briefly is about the copyrights enforcement of the online music and video share briefly. I will talk it very briefly. And this is the other aspect of the Chinese internet culture. And the third one, I believe you are very interested in the licensing system and the internet controlling system in China. I will talk about the legal matters in it. Firstly, Tianya. Tianya is one of the most popular and crowded online forum in China. Its traffic is ranked number 90 in the world. Now there are over, you can see it, over 34 million of registered users, hundreds of thousands of people online concurrently. And this system is relative, looks very shabby, very old, but it's very, very crowded. Here is one of the hundreds of Tianya's discussion forums. Its name and theme of this special forum is gossip. Gossip and entertainment. You can see the number of visitors of each of the hot topics in this forum. You can see it. And you can see specifically one of the hot topics. There are so much visits and so much replies. And this thread, I have visited it. It was initiated, created on 11 February of this year. And you can see there are half billion visits and almost half billion replies. I have accounted. That means in each minute of these 35 days since the day it is created to now, in each minute, we get a reply. It's not good in translation, but yeah, the topic's actually about someone say, let's see what hot topics are actually made intentionally by advertisement companies to create the news, and the repliers just reply and find the new topics of those news which looks like new but actually may not be the new news but the but the advertisements of these kind of things. So this is the topic, and this is only one of them. Only one of them. There are far more visited and more replied threads in this forum. So this is the Tianya's virtual community structure. I draw this map according to Tianya's convention of Tianya community, which is not a law. It's only a self-regulation kind of convention within Tianya, made by Tianya company and the users. This is very brief. Actually, there are hundreds of boards. Each board has several board masters, and each board has members, and this is the structure of the structure. You can see it. If you are more or less familiar with the Chinese political structure, you can see some kind of similarity between these two. The same thing is there is a Secretary General and there is some kind of branch of the powers, and there are judges, complaint board, there are appealing board, such as the higher courts, the almost the same kind of structure. And this structure works very good, at least in Chinese circumstance. It works very good. Actually, Tianya has a lot of features. And not only Tianya, but also other Chinese kind, this kind of website has the same, almost the same features. The discussion board always has huge group of foreign board masters. They are human beings. They are not machine. And Tianya has a very special feature, that is when you post a post, you cannot delete it or edit it. So it makes your each sentence, what you are saying, you will consider it just like now I'm saying the same thing. So the third one is Tianya do has a petition system embedded in the administrative bureaucracy. This is also happened in other Chinese websites and web communities. And the fourth one is decentralized power on the superpower, which is also, as I have mentioned, just like the real structure of the Chinese society. Yep.
So you're petitioning to have a post deleted or edited. Is that what the petitions are for?
Yes. If your post is deleted or edited by the board master, you can petition and complain. This is the situation.
Can you petition to have your own post deleted or edited?
Sorry?
Say I made a post and I want to delete it. Can I petition to delete it?
No, not the way. You cannot. It's very special in Tianya, not in other Chinese websites, but in Tianya, its mechanism is when you post something, it will always be there, unless it is deleted by the board masters.
So if I did something stupid, I posted something with the wrong date, I'm telling people about an event, and I put the wrong date and time in it, there's no way to fix that.
Yes, the only way is just a reply.
Yeah.
The only way is just a reply and say the correction things.
2.5 million.
Yep. I have talked this website with a American reporter, and he was amazed, and he was just asked me if there are some kind of sensitive sentences or some kind of illegal expressions in this post. How can they do under so much replies? My reply, as my Chinese colleagues may also know, just deleted and moved or hiding by people, by human being, not by the machine, not by the technology things. And he's amazing, but this is the truth, and we can discuss later after, if we have time. This is QQ. And very briefly, I just want to show the amount of the population of this service. There are over 1.4 billion accounts of QQ, which is a instant messenger kind of provider. And the page views traffic has, the QQ.com has the top, is the first one of the page traffic in China. But believe me, the real traffic of within the system of QQ will far more than the page view, because most of the conversation was happened between the instant messengers, not on the pages. So this, I suspect, could be one of the most trafficked websites or web servers in the world. And actually, it was ranked at the top 10 of the world websites.
Is it also on phones?
No.
Is it also not on phones?
You can use phones now. You just send text message, the same thing. So this is Douban, the kind of web 2.0 website in China, and a very, very famous one. The name of Douban is actually kind of the dish of Sichuan cooking. Douban allows Chinese consumers to share, tag, and browse through one another's collections of books, music, and movies. The contents in Douban are mostly user-generated. However, Douban is distinct from YouTube. Only comments to the items are posted, not the real items are posted. It's different from YouTube. In each item's page, Douban provides the links to the online bookstores, and the prices of the bookstores are compared, and you can buy the books or DVDs or CDs through Douban to other web commercial websites. Douban's biggest distinction from the other SNS social networks like Facebook is it is not a real name network. Therefore, it is mainly not for social and personal networking. It is only for the public expression. When we mention public expression, and we may recall the term of public sphere of the Habermas. And actually, from my understanding and my observation, Douban has a lot of this kind of public sphere on a various of the topics. And the interesting thing is, at the same time, Douban has enforcing a very strict self-censorship. It censored any words and any sentence and any paragraph which can, the term is dangerous to the operation of Douban. But at the same time, there are always a lot of new topics and new discussions in this unreal name system. And if there were no censorship, Douban might be a good platform for those public sphere. This is the current situation, and this is Douban's features. And I have just actually have mentioned just now. Now, there are three generations of the Chinese website, and now I have my own observation of the features of China's website. Firstly, Chinese websites accept the 2.0 ideas, but making the user-generated content controllable either by human being or by some technological mechanisms, but mostly by human being. Secondly, Chinese websites only comply with Chinese culture, not the other cultures, such as Douban. There is no comparative thing in the English world. And such as Tianya, there's no comparative thing in English world. As QQ, we cannot find the same thing in the English world. Even we have MSN, but MSN is distinct from QQ. And the third one is these websites provide integrated services. It's just like Korea and Japan. A lot of services, emails, web pages, news, web blogs, instant messengers, all of them are integrated into one website. And another feature is most of these websites does not open the API, so other applicants cannot access to them.
So is that like Cyworld in Korea? I imagine it's similar. Yeah.
Yes, almost the same thing. Okay. Almost the same thing. Yes. The first one is Chinese internet sphere is not email-driven, which is in the English world. It is IM-driven, instant message-driven, and with BBS management style and BBS culture. This kind of culture and atmosphere is so different from the English world. So it's not only the censorship, not only those kind of sensitive kind of thing make Google not successful in China. Actually, Google had never succeed in China from the commercial perspective, from my own observation. It is this situation.
Yeah. So, you know what percentage roughly people use in, computers versus phones or mobile devices for connecting to the internet?
Yep.
Can you wrote can roughly how much is half and half, or what do you know?
Sorry, I actually...
Well, how many people use a computer to access the internet? How many people use a mobile device?
There is a statistics I didn't remember, you can access CNNIC.net, and they provide the statistics. The latest one is the January 2010, and they have a comparison. I remember there is a graph, and you can find it at that website. And the second thing, what I want to mention briefly, is the music downloading of the copyright things, which is provided by Google, but also not actually by Google, by another corporation, which is top100.cn. It provides all the content to Google. This music service is downloadable, and you can listen it online and download the music. And at the same time, all the music provided by Google are lawful because the company of top100.cn gets the license from the copyright owners. But relatively, that collection is very small, smaller than another one, which is Google's rival, Baidu. Baidu also provides music downloading or music search kind of features of services. Baidu actually is the pioneer of the music searching. And at this website, you can search the web, the internet, all the MP3 files, and you can download. And Baidu has actually been sued in China for several times, but most of cases in Chinese courts, it was defended by the safeguard kind of rules in the copyright law. So actually Google, from the commercial perspective, is starting from Baidu with some kind of more moral or legal way. And it is actually not that successful, because if we are discussing the legal thing, we are discussing the copyright legal thing, we should discuss a copyright law in a specific jurisdiction. So Baidu, we could not say it is not legal. It has been defended in a lot of cases in China. So in Chinese sphere, look at this comparison. Google actually does not comply with the Chinese culture, because in China, everything is changing, but downloading music has hardly been charged. You can download the music with some legal way, because for example, Google has done and Baidu has done also. This is what my observation. The third one, very briefly, and I would like to leave time to discussion, is the ICP certificate thing, which is the internet controller. About the internet controller, I have my own observation, which may differ from others, which is Chinese circumstance or environment of the censorship is better and better. From the very beginning, from 1996 to 2000, Chinese government and a lot of departments of the China have promulgated a lot of regulations. But those regulations was mostly not be enforced in the following years. During 2002, 2003, and 2005, the internet censorship and internet control are mainly based on the technological mechanisms. And from 2003 to 2009, more and more legal enforcement was happened. And in 2009, we can find there was a lot of campaign fighting the piracy and the pornography kind of content in China. And they are mainly enforcing the law with the legal instruments, but not the technological filtering instruments. This has a very huge change from this almost 15 years. Now, in this year, just closed the Chinese National Congress meeting in March 15, there are a lot of discussion on the new legislation of the Chinese internet regulation. The demanding of that kind of discussion in the Congress is because the old law in 1990s was outdated and they cannot comply with the current situation. So there are open discussions on these laws. There are laws. China, there are laws, not only the technological kind of featuring thing. This is my observation. And the laws now is relatively not so good in some kind of sense. Because currently, the Chinese internet control legal system is based on a jungle of the licenses. A lot of licensee system is controlling every aspect of the internet commercial business and the expression. These licenses, MIIT means Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, which is the ministry, and SAIC means the State Administration of Industry and Commercial, which licensee your license of doing a business, and the SARFT is the State Administration of Radio, Film and Television. It's licensing the webcast. And the News World Office, which is directly under the Premier's office, which is licensing the news websites. If you want to open a website with providing the news, you have to get that license. And administration of should be public, I forget actually, licensing the publication of online games. This is actually another aspect. And the Ministry of Public Security is the Chinese policies. They are investing the cybercrime. This is the jungle of the license. This is the legal system, not just promulgated, but promulgated in 1990s. And even within China, a lot of discussions and on this system has been happened for years. And especially in 2009 and this year, the discussions has questioned this jungle of the licenses in China. And I believe the new legal reform will happen sooner or later. And from my observation, the trend from technology control to the legal control has pros and has advantages and the disadvantages. The good thing is certainty is increasing. Before 2007, actually no one know who ordered to shut down the website, and sometimes no one even know the reason. And in 2008 and 2007, at the end of the 2007, there are some people, some personals, try to sue the ISPs or the administrations, and to actually they try to find who is actually doing the censorship. And in 2009, the reason of shutdown has been explained by the administrations, and the subject of the legal enforcement is clearer and clearer. Actually, yes, the laws made in 1990s has some kind of bad aspect, which is it's not immature, and it might lead, because a lot of licenses, so might lead arbitrary enforcement or selectively enforcement in China. And a cloud of licensing system will make the enterprises face more difficulties in starting their business. Especially in 2009, everyone in Chinese internet industry has found and feared this kind of thing. But I don't think this is a very terrible thing, because these are temporary. Comparing to the legal reform steps in last 20 years, the change will be faster than we ever imagined. So I believe this will be changed sooner or later. And this is the observation of the Chinese legal system. And back to the internet itself. She said the internet is a single internet. There is a single internet. And all the world should be in one internet. But is it true? I don't think it is really true from the cultural, linguistical, and legal aspects. And actually, other very famous scholars has mentioned the splitting of the internet in this book and other kind of publications. The splitting internet, according to Tim Wu, the author of this book you may be very familiar with, Tim Wu has said the splitting internet is a truth, and at the same time, its advantages are underappreciated by most of the observers. I agree with this. And at the same time, I want to discuss with you about this question. If it is really a truth of the splitting internet, can we get along with each other in this world? In this world, realistically, can we get along with each other? And I believe from the essence of the internet, from my own opinion, we can. Because at the very basically, internet is consist of the autonomous systems without any hierarchy. At the very beginning, ARPANET, MIRNET, they are departed from each other, and they have a different system of internet governance. And in Europe, we have Cyclades and NPL, which was provided by the France. These four systems combine together as the autonomous systems and combine together and forms the internet. I should thank the Berkman Center's fellow Hao and other fellows. We provide me this autonomous concept, and they are actually doing the detailed research of these systems. And let's come back from the technological to the social aspects. Autonomous internet is, which is my wording, internet, Chinese internet. I think it can be expressed infrastructurally, which has mentioned just now, and linguistically, it is in Chinese, as we have mentioned at the very beginning of the game, and it is culturally autonomous, and just like Tianya's structure, which is different from most of the English kind of websites, and it's also legally, and that law is not mature now, but will eventually rationally be arranged in the future. That is what my perspective, and at least we have to look at the internet in a pluralistic way. We should not just stand by one side and say the other side is not internet. And I see some graphs that saying there are black hole of the internet, and it seems some countries are in the black hole, but think about that 1.4 billion of the QQ users. Is that really a black hole? I don't think so. So what's the last thing what I have to figure out, and actually I have mentioned in the fellow server before, is that the real thing what we should care about is in this world, the resourceful users will always seek out ways around the censorship. The censorship including anything, including censorship of the piracy, since censorship of the political expressions or anything. But the resource users, they have the technological resources, and they have the power, maybe resources, to circumvent these things and get access a lot of information. And unresourceful people may not have that benefit. So the real thing we should more be cared of should be the balance between the resourceful people and the unresourceful people. This is what my last comment on this splitting internet. And thank you very much. If you have any questions, you just...
Yeah.
Yep. It strikes me that the use of the Chinese, that the Chinese language is itself, you know, a substantial barrier in both directions, because, you know, it is so different from the languages written in the Latin alphabet. But there is one other country which shares the Chinese language with China, which is Taiwan. So to what extent is their usage of Taiwanese websites by people in China and use of Chinese websites by people in Taiwan?
You mean generally? Actually, most of the Taiwan websites are accessible in China, and even including the official websites of the Legislative Congress. I have the Taiwan's Legislative Congress. I have accessed in China most of them,
but some of them, commercial websites.
Some of the, we say the isolation of the Taiwan, the independence of Taiwan Island, of those websites are actually now not accessible, but they are not so much.
But do people in Taiwan use services like QQ? Do people in China use commercial services in Taiwan?
My understanding, they have the statistics, and I can provide you the data, but my understanding is the QQ was very, very popular, more popular in Hong Kong than in Taiwan. But some Taiwanese also use QQ. Yeah.
What will be the effect of the recent declaration that access to the internet is a basic human right?
Yes. There is a news last week in Chinese, every news website. One of the top news, which is actually echoing the survey by the BBC. BBC has a survey that 8% of the internet users agree that access to the internet is one of the human rights globally. And that news was published in all of the Chinese websites without problem. So I think these basic principles would not be affected. The problem is now is actually the old law, immature law, which was made in 1990s, and the ideology of 1990s was relatively old, and those laws have problems. And in China, I believe this will be changed sooner or later.
Yeah. I'm wondering when you showed that long list of government agencies, the mass of bureaucracy there. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering to what extent that system accounts for the siloed nature of these different services. In other words, it seems to me like if I'm looking at that much bureaucracy, and if that supports everybody siloing their services and not necessarily interoperating, I'm just wondering if you see a connection between those at all. In other words, like the absence of APIs, for example. I mean, I imagine you can't easily pull your data out of one of these services and put it into the other. And I'm wondering to what extent that, is that cultural, or is that just commercial, or is that legal? What's the mix in that that accounts for that?
I can only provide my own opinion on this. I think those structure was based on the notion that the internet is just like the other public media, just like the television. Mm-hmm. So in the laws promulgated, as I mentioned several times, in 1990s, the notion and the idea of those laws is to regulate the internet just like regulating the television, newspaper, and publication press in that time. So based on that kind of system, nowadays this licensing jungle was created, but it meets a lot of problem, and this is the way that the legal reform should be. This is only my own. And as a lawyer, what I should say is it should be changed because that system is not efficient and not comply with the internet itself. That is my own opinion. Yeah.
I want to, first of all, thank you for this. This is really wonderful. I want to ask you a ridiculous question, though. This sort of, you're from China, what do people think sort of question. But I want to ask it anyway. So it's a cultural question. So if we have the resourceful people and the unresourceful people and we want to get the balance right, people will only want to get that balance right or become resourceful if they're aware, for example, that sites or information or services are being blocked and if they see value in those blocked sites and services. So speaking for all of China, how does it look to somebody who's on... not a particularly resourceful person, just an ordinary one of the 5 million people who are commenting at QQ or wherever. What does it look like? What does the filtered system look like from the inside? Is there an awareness that it's filtered? Do people care that it's filtered? Is the filtering viewed as, if it's recognized that it's there, is it viewed as a sort of spam filtering to get...
Last year, in this seat, Rebecca from Hong Kong, another scholar.
Rebecca McKinnon.
She mentioned, I remember, she mentioned that the Chinese people, most of Chinese netizens, just don't worry about the censorship. They just not feel it. Not only because the censorship itself make you cannot find the, technologically you cannot find the censorship, but also because the dense information circumference in China, a lot of information, a lot of news, a lot of things that can be discussed, just like those gossip things. They are so attractive. So from my understanding, same to Rebecca, they just don't to care about this kind of thing. And another aspect is, actually, this information, I believe some of my Chinese colleagues may agree with me, the information in China is actually, if you really want to get the information, you will definitely find a way to get it. And if you really want to express something, you can find a way to express this linguistically. The filtering mechanism cannot work to the Chinese words. A lot of examples. So that is the ordinary Chinese internet users, what they are thinking about, perhaps, is this way. Not that heavy, not that heavy burden or kind of you have to strike something, not so much.
Quick follow-up then. If I understood your conclusion, which was calling for a greater balance between the unresourceful and the resourceful, how do you do that without increasing both the awareness of the filtering and the desire for less filtering? And why do it? What's missing? What's, I know this is a naive question, but I'm expecting a sophisticated answer. What's missing from the discourse? If there's so much information, and if you want to express something, you can. It's hard, but you can. If you want information, maybe hard to get, but you can. What's wrong with the system as it is? Why do we need to change the balance of resourceful and unresourceful?
Yeah, that's a very good question. That is, I should say, because the system, as I mentioned, which was based not on the essence of the internet, but based on the essence of the traditional mass mediums, which has a structure just like a tree, and that structure can distinguish the different people's right of expression or right of doing the things in the internet. So that old logic, what I mean is that old logic made the resourceful people more resourceful and unresourceful people unresourceful. That is what I now is considering the things. And yes, if we can change or reform the law to a more compliance way to the internet, I think the question you have mentioned may be not so big on this kind of thing. Thank you. Yep.
Thank you for the very useful presentation together with a very useful update on the recent development in China in many respects. But my question might be a kind of somewhat fundamental question in relation to your very optimistic observation about the future of the splitted internet as opposed to the single internet. I'm not sure if you, stick to the dichotomy between the two terms, but my point is the following. There should be some common denominator wherever you might go and wherever you might use your own internet. So one of the basic functions of the internet is to foster the free circulation of information, as is done under the WTO, to foster free circulation of goods or services, for example. So if we want to say some bright future about the splitted internet, then we do not have to repose on one, secluded jurisdiction where all the law and practice are somewhat remote from those of the other jurisdictions. So my question is that what about the situation in China, in particular in relation to the level of copyright protection for their online music file sharing? And other is the, censorship on certain critical information which should be shared by everybody. So I want to
thank you.
Yep. Certain addendum on that specific points.
Yep, thank you. And yes, there can be a very interesting comparison between the system of the copyrights protection and the system of some kind of censorship in China, the expression censorship. And actually in China, you can see a very freedom of using the copyrighted works. Freedom is not quoted. And in that society, the matter is not on the law, on the legislation. Actually, from my understanding, the legal structure of Chinese copyright law were not so far away from other jurisdictions, including Korea, Japan, Taiwan, Hong Kong, America. The legal foundation of the copyright law is almost the same. It's almost the same. But another aspect is not the legal kind of foundation. It's, as we have always said, the enforcement things. But I'm not want to hereby to say the enforcement. I want to say another aspect, which is the effect or influence of the government. Actually, if, from my understanding, if government can do a campaign just like fighting the pornographic things to the campaign to fighting the pirate things, I think that would be workable and will be very efficient in China, at least in the specific time. The government can have a big kind of function on this kind of enforcement. But at the same time, the government also has a kind of disadvantaged function to the copyrights or this kind of protectionist. Government itself has its own interests, different kind of departments of the government has their different interests. That is one of the reasons of the legal enforcement, either in the internet control or in the fighting of the copyright piracy in China. And this is a very specific topic, and we can discuss if you have time. Yep, this is what I'm.
going back to the issue of this single internet, I gather from what you said here that you somewhat disagree with that idea, that you think like it's okay if there's different internets and that's not a problem. I understand that oftentimes when these kind of pronouncements come from the US, outside the US they're looked with certain suspicion. It's like when they say here a single currency, then we're thinking, oh, it's a dollar. So if we're thinking about a single internet, it's always the American internet. So I understand that kind of suspicion. On the other hand, it's also, I guess, understandable and positive that each technology or each communication medium is adapted and used for different cultural and linguistic contexts, and that's normal with every medium. However, I wonder whether you think there is still something about the internet's design and the internet's way of functioning that should be universal and preserved. Something that if you touch, actually, then we're not talking about the internet, we're talking about something else. Is there any core...
Is there any part that's not pluralistic?
Is there any core feature or value or something about the internet that... if it's actually changed in a specific national context, then we're talking about something different. We're not talking anymore about an internet.
It's a very philosophic thing, the question, and it's good. And I believe everyone, just like the question this gentleman had mentioned, is the right of access, the human rights of this kind of, I believe everyone in the world, in any time, has a kind of universal principles that should be complied with culturally or legally or politically, or this kind of thing. But what I am talking about, this pluralistic way of observing the internet, is actually that what the things, what we have to do by this way, it does not mean that these different separated parts of the internet cannot have the universal principles, or at least cannot have the universal protocols of the connection. They do have, and they will not be really split or separated from each other at the current time. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. But what I would just want to stress is actually another observation way, another way of the observe this internet. Culturally, legally, they are bordered by the different kind of jurisdictions or countries. And this situation will continue for a long time. Not just now, we can just cooperate together and we can combine together. That is not so. That is what I mean. And yes, what you mentioned is important. That is what my. Thank you.
Can I jump in with a follow-up? Thanks, Don. So now I'm a little confused, because if we're going to talk about separate internets, they're separate either at some level, at the protocol level, at the content level, at some level, and in what from when you talk about separate internets, at what level are they separate? Because when you give your pluralist vision, it sounds like they're not separate. So I'm confused about where the separation that you're talking about between the multiple
internets. You're
talking
about the one between Cyclades and the others as your example of that, when you were showing the pluralist. You want to go back to that slide?
I think that's what you're... Is that the Chinese internet?
But those were superseded, though, right? So
that's my understanding of superseded. But I think what you're saying is that go back to one of the drawings.
Right, there is no Milnet anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
So you sometimes call it the Cinternet, is that right? The C Internet.
Cinternet. I just named by myself.
So can you, maybe way of asking this is, what exactly do you mean by what makes it into the Cinternet and not the Internet? What's the difference that separates these two?
Yes, the distinction is firstly infrastructural. I think this will what I'm talking about. Infrastructural. It is based on the ISPs, provided the connections by the Chinese ISPs. And these Chinese ISPs can only comply with the Chinese law. That is their only one choice. Is they cannot comply the defamation law in the States. They cannot comply the FCC's law. This is the legally and this kind of perspective of the my pluralistic kind
of. Isn't that true
interest.
In every country? I mean, in Italy, you're going to get internet service from an Italian company.
But the thing is, you the routers that they're using are from likely to be like ones from Cisco. In other words, the protocols are no different. At the protocol, at the physical layer, at the protocol layer, at the data link layer, they're the same.
Yep.
But it's filtered by law, right? So that's really, I think you're conflating infrastructure with the legal system there. Am I wrong? I mean, because I...
Yes, I think you are right in some sense, but I may not express myself clearly. That infrastructurally, I'm just, because you are the expert on the infrastructure. And
I'm just using the word.
And infrastructurally, things from my understanding and my mean in this term is actually only the basic physical kind of base of the internet. Mm-hmm. What I mean is only this. And according to the protocols, or those connection ways of the software or higher layers, mm-hmm. I'm not saying in this term, at this circumstance, I'm not seeing those kind of aspect of infrastructure. This is what I think. Yep.
Another follow-up question to these follow-up questions. Can someone in China access the broader internet freely, or is it more like a matter of choosing the more familiar parts of the internet? For example, is it like you can go into one bookstore but not another, or is it like one big bookstore and you can choose to go to one department or another? Like you can choose to go to the Chinese language department or the English language department, but it's all accessible.
That is also I really cannot answer this question. I don't know how to answer this question because this is very a kind of general kind of aspect of the observing the internet. I think I just don't have idea on this topic. Yep, thank you, and thank you.
Can you compare at all the situation of the Chinese internet to say to other linguistic islands, say like Japan? I mean, Japan. Is Japanese is spoken for the most part only in Japan and in expatriate Japanese communities. It has a very distinct culture from any other country, for lots of historical cultural reasons. Would you say that it has a different internet than the rest of the world, the way you say that China does?
I believe this is another philosophy thing. When you are talking about the pluralism, this term itself would have a lot of layers. You cannot see there are only one platform and they are all on the same two-dimensional kind of thing. They have differences between each other. Actually, there are a lot of layers. For example, the Japanese websites, the Japanese system may be more involved into the English or the whole kind of dominated by the American kind of internet system in some circumstances, but it still can be pluralistically observing. That is what I want to express. I'm not saying that the only China or it can separate it from that website. I think that web. I think I'm just talking about a perspective of observation. This is what I'm doing. I don't know if I answered your question.
Where are the, this is kind of following up on the previous couple, where are the primary nodes between which the Chinese internet would communicate with the internet at large outside China? I mean, are there bottlenecks, if you will, in the data transfer between Chinese internet and the worldwide internet outside China? And what are the main ways that information comes? I mean, goes from one to the other. I mean, like emails or e-commerce or news sites or whatever, proxy servers.
On these aspects of the specific services of the emails of these kind of things, I don't think they are the matter what I want to express the pluralistic kind of internet. On these services, they are the same and should be always the same thing because they use the same protocol and they use the same kind of technological things, technological mechanism to transmit the information. And it's only the difference between the languages, the Chinese and the English, Japanese. But I'm definitely not saying that Chinese itself will be definitely a separate internet. But what I'm saying is in some specific regimes or some specific legal, cultural, or these kind of systems, it could together to form a kind of internet which might culturally, legally different from other networks, even other networks using Chinese. That is what my observation. Yep. Thank you.
Just so now, David and
Hal have a wonderful paper on the connections of the different internets from different countries and the autonomous systems and how they connect to each other. I don't know if that can be circulated or if anybody wants.
Yeah, talk to me after the talk and I'll give you a demo and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep, I use the autonomous system. It's just a lot of referred from that paper, and that paper is definitely good.
Donnie, could you talk for a second about the effect on the ordinary Chinese user of Google's withdrawal from China?
Google's what?
Google's departure from China.
Yep.
I'm thinking of it in two respects. I heard that Google never had a big share of the Chinese market, maybe down around 13%. It's possible that maybe Google never offered sites that Chinese users couldn't get from some other place. So maybe the departure will be harmless or without much impact. On the other hand, Nature published a poll just last week showing that 3/4 of Chinese scientists choose Google first when they're looking for information.
The 3/4 of Chinese
scientists regard Google as their first choice search engine. It doesn't mean that Google offers access to sites that they don't have any other way, but at least they choose it first. So what's the impact going to be on Chinese users and Chinese scientists?
I mean, after Google, if it just quits out.
That's right.
I don't think there is so much impact. Firstly, Google will not quit on the internet. Will not quit. I mean, Google's office may quit from Beijing, from China, from Shanghai. But Google in the internet will not quit. You can access Google. And if Chinese government just block Facebook, like block Google, it can also be accessed by other ways if you want to use their services of the Chinese users.
So these are the resourceful users again. They can get the unfiltered Google even after Google departs, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is what I'm just suspecting, but because I'm not the one in this kind of conversation between Google and Chinese government. Mm-hmm. And actually, I don't think Google has really discussed, but it's just a guess. I don't think Google has really the ability to discuss or just negotiate with the Chinese government, because that's, I don't mean that Google is not big, just not the usage in the Chinese culture. That is not the usage in the Chinese culture. It cannot just, sometimes, maybe just talk too much a little. Sometimes some foreign companies may just ask that if you really have a whitelist or a blacklist of the websites that we can follow, so we will not be shut down. But I suspect the existence of this kind of whitelist or blacklist in the legal aspect, maybe in the technological departments of some controlling department they have, but legal, I don't believe they will have this kind of thing.
I just like to know what your other friends from China agree with or follow what Donnie's saying. Is there any dissent there or any? Has been fairly quiet, so I'm wondering if there's anything you'd like to add or think he left out or if it make.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong sometimes.
I'm not from China. I'm actually an Australian, but I'm working in Singapore. And I think I would back up what Donnie has just said about Google not being maybe as popular in the Chinese language as a search engine as it is in the English language, because the Chinese language is actually very different in terms of linguistic and structurally. And some of the algorithms that they use that Google uses for the English language and maybe for other Germanic languages, they do not necessarily, they can't be translated and transported and used in a Chinese language. So I actually agree with much of what Donnie has said about Google's.
So their search actually kind of sucks, is what you're saying, in a way.
Yeah. You said it, not me.
Yeah, I'm translating it. The American vernacular.
Plus, yeah. It was censored.
Well, there's also, I mean, Baidu's advertisement has often been that Baidu understands Chinese.
Yeah.
And, you know, sort of anecdotal accounts say that especially in the early stages of Google's China efforts, Baidu really just had better results. And that, you know, I'm not fluent in Chinese, but I'm a student of these things, and I actually find that to be true. You know, when I'm searching in Chinese, I will try Baidu if I don't immediately get what I want from Google, but that's just because Google's already in my taskbar. So.
Yeah, I'm not from China, but I wanted to, say something relevant to their, unique features of a single jurisdiction. Google search engine merely accounts for less than 5% of their search market in Korea. Of course, the language is one of the problems Google has faced in the Korean market, but other than the issue of their unique features of a language, then their feedback by Korean consumers in relation to the efficiency of their Google search might be relevant to that kind of phenomena in Korea. So the pluralistic society over the internet might be viewed from the perspective of the result, having received a feedback from the consumers. So that is a very sound and healthy phenomena we could witness in the market. That, as a result of the free competition in the market, then somebody cut a very conspicuous figure and becomes more appealing to consumers. Then that is a very, good thing.
Thank you.